Has the gospel been preached to all nations? No? Anybody got any specific statistics to share with me? I'm going to be honest with you, if I hadn't looked them up, I wouldn't either. I found a real interesting website. You can go home and look at it. It's called the Joshua Project. Again, I want you to remember, planet Earth is not all like Montgomery County, Kentucky. Okay? The country of Nigeria, that is what we would consider a single political country or a single political nation. Anybody know how many different ethnic groups exist inside the borders of Nigeria? Anybody want to take a guess? 20? Anybody else want to take a guess? 30? Try over 540 different ethnic groups. You go down into South America, Brazil is a single political nation. You get into the interior, into the Amazon. Do you know how many different ethnic people groups there are in Brazil? Heck, in my lifetime, there was a group of people found down there that had never been found, that no one even knew existed. I can remember when I was younger that on the news that they found this group of people down there in the Amazon. Didn't know they existed, and they didn't know anybody else existed. They were living very primitively, I might say. All right, so anybody want to take a guess how many, according to the Joshua Project, how many ethnic groups are still unreached worldwide? It's a bunch. I was surprised. Over 7,400 ethnic groups are still unreached. Don't know the gospel. Many have never even heard the name of Jesus. That's hard for us to believe, isn't it? Because, I mean, you can't throw a baseball in Montgomery County and not hit a church. That's hard to wrap your brain around, isn't it? And yet there are ethnic groups in the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. The Kurds in Turkey are an ethnic group. They are almost completely unreached with the gospel. According to the Joshua Project, the 50 largest ethnic groups, unreached ethnic groups, they're considered unreached because they have less than 1% of their population are Christian. Many of them don't have any Christian. Less than 1% of the population is Christian. There are few, if any, churches among these 50 biggest ethnic groups. They total in the 50 ethnic groups, the biggest ones, over 1.4 billion souls. That's a lot of people living without Jesus. Each of these 50 groups has at least 12 million people. And here's the problem, and I didn't realize this either until I got reading on their website. Even if we could translate the Bible into their language and airdrop tens of thousands of Bibles down for them, a lot of these ethnic groups, large part of their population's illiterate. Can't read. Because again, not only do they not have electricity and sanitation and safe water and grocery stores and hospitals and things that we take for granted, they also don't have educational systems like we have in America, and there are a lot of their people can't read. Guess someone needs to tell them. What do you think? Let me give you countries where these 50 different ethnic groups exist. Bangladesh, oh, here's a shocker, China, Egypt, Ethiopia, India, Indonesia, oh, here's another shocker, Iran, Nigeria, and Pakistan, and there are many in Afghanistan, and with the Taliban now in control, how many missionaries do you think they're going to let in? Now, I have a friend of mine, he has this famous saying, not my problem. It's real easy for us sitting over here in Kentucky to think, not my problem, I'm far from Afghanistan. I think maybe the church needs to learn how to think out of the box, to maybe try to reach some of these people. I think we do. Let me ask you this. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Who has been charged with taking the gospel to the lost? Say it, Derek. The body of Christ, also known as the church, God's people. I watch, and we went and ate dinner. They had TV on, they had news on, and I saw this woman with the American Civil Liberties Union flapping her gums. About made me lose my dinner. If it's godly, they hate it. Let me ask you, do you think the ACLU is going to start taking the gospel of Christ to the world? Think Democrats might do it? Think Republicans might do it? Oh, they're too hung up about talking about killing babies. They ain't going to take gospel to nobody. You think maybe the lost people start sharing Christ with each other? If we don't do it, who's going to? So guess what? If the gospel has to be taken to all the world, to all the nations, and if the church has been charged with taking the gospel to the world, guess what? The church must still be here in verse 14. I don't see how they can't be. Because I don't see how the gospel is going to reach all the nations unless some of God's people are here to tell them. I don't know what you think. I think the church has a lot of work to do. What do you think? Amen. I tell you this. I take you certain neighborhoods right here in Montgomery County. I think the church has a lot of work to do. You don't have to go to Afghanistan to find somebody to win to Christ. You don't have to go to Nigeria to find somebody to win to Christ. I can take you up here to some of these Section 8 apartments. I can give you plenty of people that need to meet Christ. But here's what I want you to think about for all us excuse makers. While verse 14 is going on, so are the events of verses 5 through 12. Verse 5, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Are there people out here preaching false messages today? Amen. Yeah, boy, lots of them. Some of them have gotten just downright ridiculous and crazy. Are people being deceived? You know, they're talking about how Washington's going to ban TikTok because the Chinese government can basically spy on you. My first thought was, so I guess the U.S. government wants a monopoly on spying on Americans. You can laugh at that. I think it's funny. Yeah, I mean, they spy on us. Our own government spies on us. Don't be naive. Of course they do. You see where the car companies are selling your information on how you drive to the insurance companies who are using that information to raise your insurance rates? Big hubbub about that. Yeah, you better watch how many times you hit your brake and how fast you go. You might the insurance company might find out about it. They're spying on you. But, you know, but I like what one lawmaker said. TikTok got on their website, or their platform, I guess you call it, and just told every user, if you don't want to lose TikTok, you better call Washington, D.C. And I guess the phone boards just lit up in D.C. with 12 and 13-year-old kids calling. And I like what the lawmaker said. You see the influence TikTok has on these children? They tell them to do something, and what do? They do it. I'm not real familiar with this. I'm a little out of my league. I'm old. TikTok challenges, has anybody heard of these? Which has resulted in children either killing themselves or dying trying to do stupid things that TikTok tells them to do. You know what kids are learning in China on TikTok? Math and science and useful things. And in the meantime, China is using TikTok to indoctrinate our kids that they need to change their gender, or they need to be homosexual, or they need to be depressed, or they need this or that. You know, it's being used. Let's not lie. It's being used. There's all kind of deception going on. Guess what? Jesus said they would deceive many. Many are deceived, aren't they? All the while, the church is supposed to be combating it by taking the gospel to the lost. Verse 6, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are there any wars going on today? You hear Vladimir Putin flapping his gums about he'll go all the way to a nuclear war if he has to? I think he's threatening. I don't know that he's got the nerve to do it, but I don't want to find out. They're talking about, you know, the war widening in the Middle East between Israel and their enemies. Talking about China maybe going to try to take over Taiwan. I heard on the news this afternoon, eating my lunch, that a lot of these military-aged Chinese men that have come across our southern border may be sleeper cells just waiting to cause chaos in our country if China invades Taiwan. I mean, there's all kinds of scary things being propagated when it comes to war. I remember what Jesus said, though. Be not troubled, for these things must. You hear that? Must come to pass. I ain't a bit afraid. Vladimir can nuke us and send me straight to heaven. I'll take it, okay? I'm not a bit afraid. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation. We see it. There's famines today. There's disease today. There's natural disasters today, just like verse 7. All of these are the beginnings of sorrow. We see in other places in the world where the church is persecuted, where Christians are imprisoned, beaten, and killed. And I'm telling you, it's coming to America. Amen. And you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Honey, we're getting there real quick. Verse 10, and many will be offended. Boy, we talked about that last week, didn't we? How thin-skinned this world's gotten. You know, I call you the wrong pronoun, you're going to go off and have a little tantrum. I'm going to say it again. If you were born a man, I'm going to call you a man. Amen. If you were born a woman, I'm going to call you a woman. And I'm going to tell you, you can have all surgeries you want to have. It does not change the fact you're still a man or you're still a woman. That don't change nothing. What did I say last week? You want to pretend, guys, you want to go pretend you're a woman? You can, but I ain't pretending with you. Okay? All these things in verses 5 through 12 are happening today. And in the midst of it all, the church has been charged with taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. I'm going to just tell you something. Satan's doing his job real well. And if we were getting paid to do our job as a church, paid to take the gospel to the lost, I think God would have fired us a long time ago. Yeah. We stink. I mean, we just absolutely stink at doing our job. Do you think the events in verses 5 through 12 are complicating our efforts to take the gospel to the ends of the earth? Do you? I'll ask again. Do you think the things that are happening in verses 5 through 12 complicate our efforts to take the gospel to the lost? Of course they do. Does that mean that we're exempt from taking the gospel to the lost? Just because it's not easy, does that mean we don't have to do it? Just because it's dangerous, does that mean we don't have to do it? Of course not. We're obliged to do it. Now notice, I want you to notice, the second the gospel gets preached, and I think we're a ways off from this happening if there's this many ethnic groups in the world that haven't heard of Jesus, I think we're still a little ways off from the incoming, but notice the words. After the gospel is preached unto all nations, listen, and then shall the end come. And then. There's those words again. Remember, we've been talking about this. This happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. What does Jesus say? This is going to happen, verse 10, and then this will happen. And then he gets here to verse 14. He says, and then the end's going to come. Pay attention to the words. Pay attention to the order, because, honey, this is Jesus giving the order of events. Then the end will come. All right, let's move on. Oh, yeah, by the way, I want you to notice the rapture hadn't occurred yet. We're all the way to verse 14. We ain't heard nothing about the rapture, have we? We're going to get to it because Jesus talks about it in Matthew 24, although the word rapture does not occur anywhere in the Scripture. That's just a word we've ascribed to the event where Christ comes back and takes his church. But that hadn't happened yet. Now, I'm going to say something before I get to verse 15. And this applies to verses 1 through 14 and verse 15 and verse 16 to the end of the chapter. I do not claim to have all the answers. I do not claim to have a perfect understanding of everything that's going to happen in the end. I'm telling you, based on what the Scripture says, this is what I believe, okay? And I base my belief not on what someone told me, but I base my belief on what Jesus himself said. Okay, so here gets a little complicated. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. This is where that question you asked me, Don, is going to come into play. Don asked me a question for church. And I told him, I said, we were going to talk about it tonight. All right. What's he talking about? What do you think? The Antichrist? Okay, yes. You are right. You want to elaborate a little further?
Satan verily is sitting in the temple, claiming to be God.
Amen. Okay, now, let's talk about this. Notice, again, it's the words of Jesus. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Let's go back to Daniel in the Old Testament. You got those big books there, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel's right after Ezekiel. And I want to go because there's two places Daniel talks about this. Okay? Daniel tells us about two different things. Chapter 11, verse 30. And I'm going to say this. This has already happened. Okay? This chapter 11 of Daniel, verse 30. And I have read. Hold on. Yes, verse 31. 30 and 31. This is what I want to read. Let me find my place here so I can read my own writing. This is widely accepted by most scholars, by most commentators, that this is an event that already happened, speaking of here in verse 11. I'll tell you what the widely accepted view of this is. Verse 30, it says, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh death desolate. Okay, now, let me ask y'all a question. Anybody ever heard of a guy called Antiochus Epiphanes? Charlie has. I'm not surprised Charlie has. Anybody know who he is? He's a largely forgotten historical figure. You know?
Let's see. I was reading it here, the whole Maccabee thing. I guess it was the Temple of Solomon, or that was before that.
That was way before this, yeah.
Anyway, he was a Roman, and he actually took pigs into the temple. And
actually, he was Greek.
Was he Greek?
He was Hellenist, yeah.
But he actually took pigs and everything into the temple and sacrificed them.
Yes. Charlie is correct. That's a big no-no in a Jewish temple. Okay, just let me back up here for a minute. He's kind of the forerunner, if you will. He was a Greek, he was a Hellenist, and he was a king. And he invaded Jerusalem, and he was kind of the forerunner to the Romans coming, and not only invading, but occupying and being tyrants to the Jews. He came against Jerusalem somewhere around between 170 and 167 BC. And Charlie is exactly right. He offered up the blood and broth of swine on the altar. Not only did he do that, he set up the image in the temple of the false god Jupiter and set up worship of Jupiter in the Jewish temple. Now, I'm going to throw you some history here tonight. Anybody know when Solomon's temple, it got destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Then the second temple got built. Anybody know when? Before I sound like I'm too smart, I had to look all this up too. It was built around 350 BC. And then Herod the Great began to rebuild it approximately 18 BC. And if you fast forward about 47 years later, when they were bragging about it to Jesus, guess what? That puts Jesus in his early 30s. All works, don't it? Okay, so the temple was there about 350 BC, about 170 to 167 BC. Here comes Antiochus Epiphanes, and he not only offers up these offerings at the altar that should never have been offered, and he not only sets up the worship of Jupiter in the Jewish temple, he kills about 100,000 Jews in Jerusalem. Okay, he's a bad dude. This is not the event Jesus is talking about back here in Matthew 24. All right, you want to read that one? Because he said the one Daniel spoke of. Well, there's two. Okay? There was the temple. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about the one the Lord's talking about. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Verse 9 through 11. It says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the, listen here, end. That's what Daniel's talking about here, the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, and the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. All right, let's talk about this for a minute, and this is where we're going to end tonight. This second temple that Herod the Great rebuilt, that they worked on for 47 years up to Jesus' day, that was destroyed in AD 70 by the Roman general Titus and his men. Where was that temple? This was not a trick question. Where was it? Somebody name me a city. Thank you. Larry gets a gold star tonight. It's in Jerusalem. Up there on what's called the Temple Mount. We'll talk about Temple Mount in more detail later. I ain't got time. What's there today? No, it's not far. But what sits on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem today? Huh? I think you said it right. Oh, okay. I thought I heard somebody say it. The Golden Dome, it's a mosque, it's called the Dome of the Rock. Obviously, there's no holy place in the Dome of the Rock. There's no temple there right now. Is there a holy place in the Baptist Church? A Holy of Holies? where only the pastor can enter in? No, there's not. So we're not talking about a church. We're talking about the temple. We're talking about a building that currently doesn't exist. Have you ever heard people say, Rodney? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to have to be torn down because in order for what Daniel's saying to happen, the temple has to be rebuilt. Now, what do you think the odds are with all these missiles flying around over there in Israel right now that one of them accidentally hits the Dome of the Rock and destroys the thing? Let me tell you something. The day that happens, y'all better perk up. And you better start paying real close attention to what's going on because the Lord is nigh. Because I'm telling you, when that happens and they start to rebuild the temple back in Jerusalem, okay, then this is where we're talking about here. Listen, many will be purified and made white and tried, okay, and at that time the daily sacrifice will be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Derek said it right a few minutes ago. The Antichrist is going to present himself as God. And in the temple, the holy temple in Jerusalem, he is going to be worshipped. Notice it's 1,290 days. Anybody know about how long that is? 3.5 years. How long is the tribulation? 7 years. Now, this is my own personal opinion. I'm going to throw that out there. Be real careful about saying this is my opinion. First 3.5 years of the tribulation are going to be good. The world's going to fall in love with this guy that's the Antichrist, and he is going to deceive many. And I think one of the things he's going to do is rebuild the temple for Israel. I don't see how the temple can't be rebuilt before all this goes down. When you read everything the Bible has to say about this, and this being one of the things, listen, the temple's got to be rebuilt. In order for this abomination of desolation that Daniel's speaking of here to happen, there has to be a temple. There has to be a holy place. It doesn't exist yet. It will. I'm telling you, when that Dome of the Rock falls and the temple's rebuilt, pay attention. If ever in your life you decided, I'm really going to get my life right with the Lord, it better be then. Okay, Rodney? Uh-huh. I've heard that too. I've heard things similar to that. But before Jesus comes back, we're going to have this abomination of desolation. Now, the Antichrist is going to be slick. He's going to present himself as God. He's going to deceive many. Just let me read back here again. Oh, yeah, it says here, but the wise will understand. Daniel 12:10. The wise will understand. Jesus said back here in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Where does that discernment come from? Holy Spirit. It says, move down just a little bit, in verse 24. There are going to be false Christs and false prophets, and you will show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it was possible. It won't be possible. You know why? Because if you're truly born again, you have the Holy Ghost of God living in your heart. And it is the Holy Ghost that will give you this wisdom. It is the Holy Ghost that will give you the understanding. It is the Holy Ghost that will cause you to stop and say, hey, this ain't right. This is what Jesus was talking about. First 3.5 years, I think, are going to be good. The last 3.5 years is when things are really going to start to go all pot. And we're going to see next week. We're not going to get there tonight, but, verses 15.